Philippians 2, chapter 5 to 16. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindsets as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted to him the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast in the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Amen.
It worked very quickly. What are you? Yes, that's Scotland from space, and you see the physical lights. I wonder to what extent the spiritual lights shine. The passage that Robin read to us speaks about being stars in the sky as we hold forth the word of life, or lights in the universe. To what extent is the spiritual light shining in Scotland, shining in Dundee, shining in the area round about us? Is Christmas just going to be about the lights as decorations, or Jesus, the light of the world, making a difference? Because this is what it's all about. The passage goes on, shining as stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life. Now, the word to hold out is a very particular word. It's the word that will be used, for example, in the Olympic Games, if you're running with a torch. Holding out the word of life. There's a message to take, a message to share. So let's look at it. The word of life. Not just existence. We're not just existing. There's life. There's surely more to life than this, we quite often hear people say. And the message of the Christian faith is, there is. And it's this word of life that comes from God, who started life, planning the laws of science and nature, who shared life, and who supplies life. Let's look at it. He didn't count equality with God something to be grasped. Is one of the translations, perhaps better understood, equality with God is something to be held on to at all costs. In other words, he was willing to leave behind his glory. He left all the glory of heaven, came to earth amongst us. For in contrast to the people in Philippi, who are getting a bit big-headed, the emphasis is on Jesus, who's concerned about giving. You see, the people were lacking in humility, and they were causing tensions and difficulties because they were concerned about image. But Jesus wasn't concerned about image and getting, but about giving. And that's so important, because we live in a society where so often people are labeled. Jesus never labeled anybody. And if we feel that we're labeled for some reason or another, God doesn't label you. He knows you. He loves you and he cares for you. And he humbly came alongside people. So let's look at this, holding forth the word of life. He's the one who started life, and therefore the Christian faith is not an imposition on people. He enables us to be the people we're always meant to be. It's good news, not just good views that we've got to adhere to. It's news that's good for us, because that's the real meaning of gospel. Holding forth the word of life, he shared life, he understands. We're hearing about the trouble in the Middle East, the trouble in Syria over the last week in particular. I think it's important to remember that when some people say, oh, it's a shame that all that's happening at Christmas, Jesus at Christmas opted into an occupied country where the Romans were pretty harsh. They mixed the blood of the martyrs with their sacrifices, a current historian of the day said. Things were very difficult, and therefore God understands. There's a book written by Alistair MacLean called HMS Ulysses, and the ship was being sent back on the Murmansk convoy again, and the admiral from London had come up to tell them that they'd face another journey of what Churchill called the most difficult journey in the world. And the surgeon commander of this ship said to the admiral, do you know what it's like there? Do you know what it's like to be hours without food, nights without sleep, the cold eating into us, and the fear and the uncertainty, and seeing ships going down? Do you know what it's like there? You have no idea. And sometimes people are inclined to feel, looking at the world or perhaps circumstances in their own lives, does anyone have any idea? Is it a blind fate? Christmas tells us it's not. Jesus understands. He opted into a world. He shared life with all its difficulties and all its problems in the Middle East then as now. So he started life, he shared life, and then he supplies life. He supplies life because he wants the best for us. And that's so important. He's not a killjoy. So we've got this message then of a Jesus who started life, who shared life, and supplies life. And we are to hold forth this word of life. Holding forth the word of life. How are we to do it? Well, let's look at the passage. We are to do everything without complaining or arguing, that you may be blameless and pure. A referee holds up the red card, and it's one of the things that's sometimes used for domestic abuse. But what about a red card to complaining, a red card to murmuring? Way back in the Old Testament, one of the big problems that the people had was that they were murmuring, and that's that low-level attitude can erode the happiness, can erode the purpose, can erode the encouragement of any fellowship, of any congregation, of any family. And here we have Paul. He's writing to this church in Philippi. It was a mixed lot of people. There was the lady who was really upmarket business lady. There was the girl who's been trafficked. There was the retired Roman NCO who was the jailer in the church, in the Philippian jail. And the three of them were at the start of this very mixed bag of people who had Jesus in common. And the problem was, this group of people, they had lost sight of what Paul talks of earlier on, about the partnership in the gospel. This gospel, this good news that he hold forth, it's so thrilling that our complaints are so incidental. And so, focusing on this early Christian hymn, which perhaps the people sang as they got the message, this letter from Philippi to Philippi from Paul, and perhaps they sang it and they say, okay, what does this mean? Stop grumbling. Get on with sharing the good news. Let the light of Jesus shine in areas that are dark. But how does this work out? How can we manage? Okay, let's look at that. What he says in this. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. We are to work out. To work out what God is at work in us. It's not that we are to be a great people. There's nothing great about us. We're just ordinary folk. But we're people of a great God. As we saw when we were doing Colossians, it wasn't that they were colossal people, but they believed in a colossal God. And when sometimes people say, oh, who do these Christians think they are? Well, we think we're sinners, we messed up. There's nothing perfect about us. But we think that God is great, and we think that there's evidence for Jesus to be examined. And just as the shepherds, when they got the message, light coming into darkness, let us go to Bethlehem. Let's go and see let's examine the evidence of God in action. And that is the attitude we must have. They don't listen to people who are big-headed, but they'll listen to people who are big-hearted, who believe in a big God. So how do we manage? We're to work out because God, this great God, is at work in us with a great message. We're to work out. I'm not going to ask anyone who goes to the gym to come and demonstrate a workout here. But think of people who have park runs. Think of those who enjoy going to the gym, those who have workouts, those who have various keep fit scenarios, which is great. God has given us our bodies to look after. To what extent do we have spiritual workout? Do we think, right, God is at work. How are we allowing him to work through our lives? And therefore, as we have this in our series of preparing for Christmas, to what extent are we allowing God to prepare our lives so that our light might shine? Are there any things that have gone wrong in our lives that need to be sorted to get a light shining? I wonder. Work out, for God is at work in you. Perhaps we need to think of how we're going to do spiritual workouts before Christmas. How manage God is at work in you. That doesn't mean to say we're already perfect. Just ask my wife. Christians are not perfect. We're works in progress. I think that's encouraging. Because so often, the devil tells us, fine sort of Christian you are when you've done this, when you've done that. The devil who's come into one ear and tempts us to do something and we give in or we fail to do what God wants, and then the devil runs around and says to the other ear, you've failed, you're not much use. Who do you think you are? We're works in progress. God is at work in you. And the tense is not just God was at work in you, or God was once at work in you, but this continuous, ongoing work, because we deal with a living God. And if you're in a relationship, it's an ongoing thing. When someone gets married, the ring goes on, that's not the end of it. It's an ongoing relationship. And once we've come into a relationship with God and realize, yes, this is my identity, God loves me, then it's a work in progress. It's a work in progress as He makes the running in our lives. The question is, are we allowing Him? Are we allowing this God who humbled Himself, who came into the world, this God who died on the cross for us, this God wants to be at work in our lives. How? With His power. In Him, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every bow should bow, in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Are we allowing this to happen? Are we allowing Him to make the running in our lives? I wonder, in all circumstances, it's this time of year that the Titanic went down, and every year, seemingly around this time of year, one of the television channels shows the film of Titanic, or one of the films of the Titanic. What may not be so well known, unless you come from Glasgow, is one of the people on board was a pastor called John Harper, and he was going across to across the Atlantic, and he was in the water with his life jacket, and he took off his life jacket and he gave it to a guy who said, "It's all right for you. I've no faith. I've never had a faith." And in the water, he knew that they probably might not survive, and certainly he wouldn't survive without a life jacket. And this guy was not a Christian, so he took off his life jacket and gave it to the guy and said, "You need this more than I do." And he drowned. And there's a church in Glasgow called the Harper Memorial, where his local congregation renamed the church after him, to make the point that Christians put others before themselves. And Christians, whatever our circumstances, we want to share this message of the Word of Life. Now, God probably won't be calling us to hand over a life jacket, because we probably won't be drowning. But I wonder, is there somebody between now and Christmas whom we know, who hasn't got a faith, who's perhaps going through a time of personal turmoil, who's hurting for one reason or another, and they need Jesus, they need this Word of Life? And our task is to hold this Word of Life to that person, not by being big-headed or being patronizing, but by very humbly pointing them to a great God. But I wonder, is there somebody who isn't hurting, but they're a bit bewildered about life, and they're finding things awfully strange, and there's a lack of hope, and what future is there? We have got the message of Jesus Christ, the Word of Life. Or perhaps it's somebody else, and it's not that they're hurting, it's not that they're bewildered, but they're searching for their own identity. They want to be themselves, and they feel somehow or other, what's life all about for me? And they're doing their best with their studies, or doing their best with their work, or doing their best with their family, but there's an emptiness in life. Well, very simply, there is more than just existence, putting in another day, putting in another term, putting in another meal. There's more than that. We're lifted above dependent on our circumstances to realize, wow, this gift of love, God loves me. And therefore, let's look again at this passage that Robin read to us. And let this sink into us in a fresh way, in a true preparation for Christmas. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him to the highest place and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. And what does that mean? Paul goes on, as people perhaps listened to it and perhaps hummed it along or sang it. Therefore, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. Isn't that a tremendous picture? This great God is at work in us. And in practical terms, do everything without complaining or arguing, that you may be blessed and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the universe, as you hold out the word of life. May God prepare us for Christmas. May we have a spiritual workout this morning. May we know God at work in us and our lives as a work in progress, as we realize how deep the Father's love for us, and that means for you and for me.